I really cherish that everyone really respects each other's decisions and beliefs. I was very worried coming in. I'm younger than the rest of them. I'm the only woman. When it came to front-end development and user experience, if I have an opinion, they'll be like, you know this best. You know this better than us. So yeah, why would we not listen to you?
My name is Esprit Devora, host of the Women in Tech Show. The show means a lot to me. The reason why I wanted to create the Women in Tech Show is I wanted to create a positive piece of content, something where people can listen and say, if she can do it, so can I. I call it actionable empowerment. Every single episode, you'll hear the story of a fantastic woman in tech, from engineers to founders to investors to journalists to designers, all sorts of different females in tech who have thrived. I want to share their stories with you so that you can know what resources, mentors, and life situations they accessed in order to get to where they are today. Enjoy.
This Women in Tech road trip is powered by Kia Niro Touring. Yes, Kia provided us the most fuel-efficient, comfortable car to be our mobile podcasting studio as we drive state to state, Los Angeles to New York, celebrating Women in Tech, featuring them on the Women in Tech podcast. First of all, it has cooled seats. It has the most silent AC. You can't even hear it. I leave it on low during the interviews and it is perfect. No disruption at all. You have fuel efficiency because it's hybrid. It comfortably stores all of our stuff. And there's three of us in this car with a ton of backpacks and mic gear and video gear. The Kia Niro Touring is phenomenal. Simply could not be possible without Kia. A huge thank you. Enjoy the Women in Tech road trip series. Welcome back to the Women in Tech podcast. I am still in Chapel Hill, driving all the way from Los Angeles to New York in this most amazing mobile podcasting studio, thanks to Kia. And today I get to interview the amazing Kate here at Launch Accelerator in Chapel Hill. Hello, Kate.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Of course. So, okay, go ahead and introduce yourself to everybody and tell them a little bit about what you do.
I'm Kate. I'm the mobile developer for Sideline Fantasy Sports, which is a new fantasy sports app on the Apple iOS store and the Google Play store.
And how can people start looking into you right now while they're listening to the conversation?
My website is kwboyd.com, B-O-Y-D, and my Twitter's kwboyd with an underscore at the end.
And could you spell it for us?
K-W-B-O-Y-D.
B-O-Y-D.
Yes.
Okay, cool. Sweet. So when was the first time that you're like, I'm in love with technology that led to you building a startup today?
Well, in middle school, I got started with building like visual novels.
Yeah.
Which are like kind of online choose your own adventure games.
Right.
So I started out with this program that would help you build your own with images and text. And it was very basic, simple programming, but I completely fell in love with it. And I didn't really go into programming in high school, but once I got back into it in college, I was like, okay, this is for me.
And did you feel at the time, did you feel like there were a ton of resources for you to tap into?
Once I got into college, I realized that there were a bunch of resources. In high school, I had no idea what to do. I completely forgot about my love of programming through high school.
And what about the programming community really made you feel connected?
I think that there's this wonderful sense of community around building something.
Yeah.
Like having an idea and having the power and tools to actually make that idea happen. Like the feeling of celebrating that as part of a community is just amazing. It's really empowering, and just there's no greater high than like having a project out there and knowing that you built it.
And what and how did this all lead to building what you've built today?
Well, in college, I was part of UNC Chapel Hill's journalism school, which has a program in multimedia, which is a bit of a confusing program, but it's essentially front-end development mixed with user experience design. So through one of the professors there, she got contacted by Sideline, the company I work for, and they were looking for to add someone to their team, a front-end developer. And
that was it.
Yeah, I got a referral from her and talked with them and they told me, you know, I was the only candidate that didn't flinch when they said, we're going to take over your life a little bit. So they brought me on.
To amen to that. That's like the definition of startups. And then how long have you been with Sideline now?
I've been with them since May now.
And so about, what is that, like 4 or 5 months?
4 or 5 months, yeah.
Cool. And you're here at Launch. What is Launch?
Launch is a really awesome local startup accelerator where local startups apply and they get an office space and mentorship and advisors for, I think, a period of around 6 months.
Yeah.
And it's a really awesome experience. There's just so many resources available to everyone, and startups leave it going out into the world really successfully.
And what was the pain point that created Sideline, you know, being conceived of?
So Sideline's a different way to play fantasy where you pick teams and games instead of players. So the pain point that was being addressed is, in normal fantasy, you pick players at the start of the season, and then if one of them injures themselves, your season's done, you're out. So the idea is that every week you make a series of 5 picks on, right now it's just NFL, but you make a series of picks on games, and then you win or lose those picks, and then the week restarts, and you don't have to worry about injuries or anything like that.
And did you have a passion for sports before you got involved with Sideline?
I really didn't.
So you could get involved in a tech company that may not be in alignment with your personal interests and still absolutely love your job.
Absolutely. I don't really watch sports, but they explained the game to me and I was like, I understand this. I don't necessarily watch sports, but I'm like, I understand the thrill of winning against your opponent and getting points, and they don't care about whether I care about sports.
Right.
They told me that when they first met me. We do not care at all. And I love it anyway. It's a great, I've learned so much about how to build apps. So
tell me the thing that you cherish most about the culture at Sideline.
I really cherish that everyone really respects each other's decisions and beliefs. Like, I was very worried coming in. I'm younger than the rest of them. I'm the only woman. I'm new to just the working world. Yeah. I thought that they'd probably be like, okay, we're going to take the lead and tell her what to do. But when it came to front-end development and user experience, if I have an opinion, they will defer to me. They'll be like, you know this best. You know this better than us. So why would we not listen to you?
I love that.
Yeah.
I get a lot of people that are also the only woman and they feel isolated, but I think that there's really powerful ways to process, you know, our perceptions of the world, to feel collaborative, to create a collaborative space. What are some of the things that you do that make you not even notice that you're the only woman there?
I try to connect with the rest of the people on my team. And this was something I had trouble with at first, where I can be kind of shy and that makes me come off as aloof.
Exactly.
But I'm actually just shy. I really do want to share parts of my life. And that was a really important thing for getting us together as a team, is opening up about my personal life, or like what I really like, learning to share my own sense of humor, even if it wasn't necessarily their sense of humor.
Totally.
Yeah. Just learning how to open up and really be myself, even if that is a little quirky. I think it really helped us mold as a team. And I don't even realize I'm the
only
one. Yeah.
Totally. And what are some of the suggestions? It's so powerful for men and women to collaborate together. And I feel like we have to meet guys halfway and be able to guide them and how we feel most comfortable. What are some of the things that you would suggest that the guys have done here that make you feel more comfortable and welcome and included?
I'm thinking of, there are a few times where, not within the company, but people outside the company make the assumption that Tom, the designer, is the developer and that I'm the designer.
Right.
Or that the backend developer has done the work that I've done.
Right.
So they, without me even having to step in, they jump in and are like, no, this was entirely Kate, like what you are praising Kate did. And I really appreciate them without me having to even say anything.
Yeah.
They step up and are like, no, Kate is awesome. Like, don't discount her.
I love that. Yeah. I love that. And I think that it's so important for all of us to hear as a community, like, what can we do to be the most powerful community we can be? And so one of those things is really making sure recognition goes to where it was earned. And what's one way that you overcome challenges? Like, when you're having a tough time figuring out how to program something, what do you do?
Well, my first thought is, in my last semester of college, I was part of this awesome documentary team that went to Cuba.
Right. Oh, I want to go to Cuba.
It was great. It was so fun. We were like reporters, videographers, designers, and developers. Yeah. And I was part of this 4-person development team,
right,
which was 3 more experienced programmers who are all women and 1 more new to programming guy, who was a male. And we immediately bonded, and we have a long ongoing group chat for like at least 9 months at this point.
Right.
So whenever any of us has a programming problem, we just ask this wonderful group chat and we'll jump to each other's rescue.
That's so cool.
Yeah. So it's definitely the relationships I've built with other people trying to learn programming. They understand the struggle, and they probably have resources of how to, if they don't know the answer, they can help me find the answer.
Cultivating a strong community.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it. And how is the Chapel Hill tech scene doing? Where can we improve, and what are they just totally rocking at?
I think that there's really a ton of passion for startups. Like, I think that UNC produces a lot of really ambitious entrepreneurs. They have an awesome entrepreneurship program. So they're producing people with ideas and willpower to do them. I think that there could be more of an effort in the high school grades or the younger grades to get more people into tech, or at least expose them to the idea of it's a possible career option. Because I grew up in Chapel Hill and I've seen it expand, but I didn't go into computer science in university because I was never exposed to it in high school. So I think that it would be really awesome if the local startup culture connected with like the high school and middle school grades.
What's one way that you think we can make that possible?
I mean, I think classroom visits would be really awesome.
Yeah. That would be cool. And so I guess I think that high schools have a lot more liability at stake than college, so that something would have to get done. Do you happen to know like who the key figureheads are to make those kind of decisions?
I'm not totally sure, but I do think a lot of the teachers that I had back in high school are still there. And I know that the high school I went to has a web development program, which could use a lot more exposure. And that would be awesome to bring people into those classes.
It's super cool. And so moving forward, how would you suggest, now knowing everything that you know, someone who's new to programming that wants to get into it, what would you suggest to her to say like, okay, start here?
Well, I got started on Codecademy and Code School. Like, online tutorials are completely awesome. I think the real value with tutorials like that is that they're interactive, that you actually program and they check your answers. I don't do very well with video, but actually programming. And then, like, my biggest recommendation is just choose a project and start working on it.
Yeah.
Like, figure out something you want to build. And even if you don't get it completely built, you'll learn something along the way.
I mean, you guys, that's even in the future. I know that our amazing app developer, Ira Herman, built our We Are LA Tech mobile app because he wanted to test out, what's it called? Oh, I sometimes forget, and I'm forgetting right now. Anyway, he wanted to test out a new coding language, and he didn't want to test it out. He didn't want to just, like, do a project that wouldn't be used. It's really important. So he's like, this is amazing. I could learn. Why can I not think of what it was called? It's the one that's really flexible, that's that you could build really quickly to both iPhone and Android.
I think that might be what I do. I use Ionic.
Ionic!
Yes!
That's what I use! It's Ionic.
Yeah. That is it. Ionic's great.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about Ionic.
Okay. So it's a hybrid mobile development framework where you build it in like HTML, CSS, Angular, JavaScript, and then it essentially displays like a web view in both Android and iPhone. So you can build like using web development technologies and then have it on all devices.
He raves about it. So when he was learning Ionic, he was like, it's way better for me to build for a project that will actually be utilized than just something, whatever. And so the reason why I'm sharing this is whether it's an internship level or it's further along in the programming world, it's always more fun to build something that's going to be used than just anything. So find internships, find anything. Know that it's not a novice move to just start building.
Yeah, definitely. One of my favorite projects that I've built was actually just a flashcard app to help me personally practice Japanese because there aren't
Did
really
you learn Japanese.
I had a second major in Japanese.
Oh wait, say something in Japanese.
Konnichiwa.
Are you able to say in Japanese, if she can do it, so can I?
I'm a little afraid of messing that up.
Try. You guys, disclaimer, it may be a little bit wrong. There we go.
その彼女がこのを抱きたら、みんなが抱きます。I don't know.
Okay, so one of our Japanese listeners, you have to tell us if that was on.
No, I'm completely sure that was wrong. I definitely panic when put on the spot like
but
that.
But you know what? At least you tried.
I tried.
At least you tried. And that's the point. At least you like went after it and tried. And I think that's so cool. Thank you so much with hanging out with the Women Tech Podcast. I have this really cool thing. Okay, so this female founder in Wilmington, North Carolina, hand makes these. It's a Share Your Compass bracelet. It's cork imported from Portugal, made to look like gender neutral leather. And this is 2122. That's 2122. You share your story on shareyourcompass.com, how you received it. And then within 2 weeks, you give it to a woman in tech who really inspires you. And then she shares it with a woman in tech who really inspires her within 2 weeks. And everybody shares their story and share your compass so you could all connect with one another.
I love it.
That's so cool. So 2122.
Thank you.
And obviously the women in tech stickers.
I love stickers. Yes.
Thank you so much, Kate, for hanging out with the Women in Tech Podcast. Is there anything that you wanted to say that you didn't say?
No, just keep at it. Keep programming. Thank you for having me.
Of course. You guys connect with more incredible women in tech on the Women in Tech Facebook group. WomenInTechVIP.com takes you straight there. That's WomenInTechVIP.com. I will talk to you guys, hear you guys, see you guys in the next episode.
Bye.
This Women in Tech road trip is powered by Kia Niro Touring. We've been road tripping.
Yes.
There's three of us. We've slept in the car.
Oh my God.
Yeah. We've taken it to campsites.
Wow.
Look, it has a sunroof.
Yeah.
That is like so dope.
I'm not kidding. This is like really bizarre.
So dope.
Because Kia was my last stop on my car buying journey.
It's so dope.
But I was blown away. And this, I'm like, the stars are aligning.
Yeah. Clearly and the space in the back, super spacious. If I were to do a road trip again, I don't see me driving. And like the GPS working when there's no other cell reception, the heat and the cooled seats, depending on the temperature outside, just everything. This car is amazing.
This is incredible. It's so funny because we have an SUV and now I'm like, maybe we should be trading in our SUV and opting for the Niro as well. Maybe we'll go full Kia as a family. No, we do a lot of road tripping.
A huge thank you to Kia for powering this road trip series of the Women in Tech Podcast.
The Women in Tech Podcast is an independent production funded by you, the community. To support Women in Tech, if you believe in the vision as much as we do, please consider going to womenintechpodcast.com. That's womenintechpodcast.com. And just click on the contribution link to keep this podcast going. Thank you.